I'm just going to pray for Helen, and while she comes to speak to us. So, Father, in this atmosphere of worship, in this atmosphere of your presence being with us, of good things in us and around us, and that you are good, I pray, Lord, that what Helen brings to us this morning will nourish our souls, will nourish our spirits, Lord, will challenge us, encourage us, stretch us, Lord. Father, we will hear your voice through what she has to say this morning. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Linda. I think actually my preach has been preached more or less by everything that everybody's already said this morning. But that's brilliant. I'm really pleased about that, because then you know it's not just me. And that everybody's had the same kind of thoughts and the same kind of words from the Lord, which is great. Obviously, I'm going to talk about worship this morning. Normally, because of rotas and stuff, we don't get the opportunity to have the same worship leader for 3 weeks, but we do at the moment. And so I just thought that was a real opportunity for us to just build something. That continuity for 3 weeks will just help us. And really, although I know worship is not just about Sunday mornings, and I'm sure you all know that worship's not just about Sunday mornings, what I want to talk about is quite a lot this morning is Sunday mornings, because Sunday mornings are important. Corporate worship is really important. And this is a prophetic word that I have, and it's not I'm going to stand out here and kind of shout, "Thus saith the Lord." But it's in here, it's been building for a while, and in my knower, as Al would say, that I just know that this is what the Lord is calling us to be a worshipping church, and that this corporate place, this safe place, is actually the place where we can be dangerous. It's actually the place where we can push boundaries, and we need to do that. You know, the safe place is about the safe places in our small groups, the safe places in our prayer closets, the safe places where we welcome and fellowship with people. But actually, Sunday morning, in one sense, it's a safe place, but in another sense, this is a place where we can be dangerous. We are in battle. Almost every person here probably is in some sort of battle. But what we want to say to everybody, what we want to say to each other is that we're not alone in this. We're together in this. And you may think that your battle doesn't have anything to do with anybody else, but it does, because we are one body. We have been raised up together and made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ. We are all citizens of the household of God, built together and fitted together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. That's in Ephesians 2. And in Psalm 22 it tells us that God is enthroned on or inhabits the praises of his people. Corporate worship is vital. That's why we're here. We can do an awful lot of Christian life out there on our own or in small groups or whatever. But Sunday mornings, really, the one thing we can do on Sunday mornings that we can't do anywhere else is we can worship together. And the enemy hates a worshipping church. It's tempting to think that gathering together for meetings like this isn't that important. It is a big commitment. You have to put the chairs out, there's the PA, there's the band, there's the coffee, there's all the stuff that we have to do, the children's work and everything. And yeah, it's a big commitment. And, you know, we could just be loving and Christian in our own neighbourhoods and in our own streets. But we need to be built together. We need to be strong enough to survive. We need to be visible. And this is us being visible, isn't it? Jesus went to the synagogue on the Sabbath. Luke 4:16 says, as was his custom. He always did it. And I don't think he went for the teaching. I think he knew it already. And in Hebrews, it talks about not forsaking our assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. We need each other, and not least to help each other worship. Peter says, the enemy roams around like a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. Now, you've all seen it on Life on Earth. The lion goes after that poor little wildebeest or whatever it is. And it's always the one at the back of the herd that kind of gets separated. That's the one that gets eaten in the end. And it's a picture for us. You know, don't get separated. Don't get cut off. We need each other. And when we're in battles particularly. And we need to support each other. When we're worshipping the Lord, we are obeying the first and most important commandment. As I think it was Al already said this morning, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. And love your neighbour as yourself. But that corporate obedience of that commandment, that first commandment, is just vital. It's a powerful thing, and the enemy hates it. Why are we so often hindered on Sunday mornings? You've got to get the kids out the door, you've got to get yourself out of bed, there's always something better that you think you could be doing on a Sunday morning. But we do need to get here. I'm not being kind of legalistic, you need to get here. I'm just saying that it's important that you are here. Sometimes we think it doesn't matter if we don't turn up, you know, because we haven't got a job this morning, so actually I could have a morning off. It doesn't matter because I'm not actually that important. But you are. You are important. Every single one of us is important in here. Every single one of us is important because we can get here and we can sing our praises to God. Linda was talking about us opening doors for other people to worship. And it may be that you might be sitting next to somebody who's having a really rotten morning, who really arrived not feeling great. But you're okay. You can sing. You can worship. You can open the door for them. You can help them this morning. You probably all know the story of the fall of Jericho. Okay, the walls of this strong city fell when the Israelites shouted. But remember, they'd already marched around the city together with the trumpet players blowing the trumpets, and they'd had to do that 6 times. And they didn't see anything while they were doing that. No visible result at all. It was only after that, after the worship, that when they shouted, they won the city. The walls fell down. What are our Jerichos in our lives, in Marlow? It's no good us shouting if we haven't done the marching first. If we're not worshipping the Lord, if that's not where we're at. In 2 Chronicles 20, there's a great story about Jehoshaphat, who was threatened by the great armies of Moab and Ammon and a few other people I can't pronounce. And it says he was afraid. Now, there's nothing wrong with being afraid. He set himself to seek the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast, and all Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and the Holy Spirit came upon one of the priests, and he prophesied. And he said, verse 15, "Do not be afraid or dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." Are you afraid of anything this morning? You need to hear this. The battle is not yours, it's God's. Verse 17, it goes on to say, "You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. That was their position. Their position was the position of worship. And that's all they had to do. Verse 21, "And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army. And they were saying, 'Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever.' Now when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Moab and Ammon and the others who had come against Judah, and they were defeated." Singing songs about God's mercy and love was such a powerful thing to do that the enemies of Jehoshaphat got confused and killed each other instead of the enemies of Judah. So what can we do to get to the next level? Really, we just want to push on into this, don't we? And we, you know, as Rob said, the creativity in the room and the worship in the room already is brilliant, but I just think there's another level that God's calling us to. I'm not a worship leader, as you all know. But so my perspective is like yours. I sit there like you do. I'm one of the crowd. But I have been taught a few things, and I wanted to pass them on because they've helped me. Psalm 149 talks about the saints being joyful and having the high praises of God in their mouths and a double-edged sword in their hands. So this psalm links praise and worship and warfare. And it says at the end of the psalm, "This honour have all his saints." That's all of us. We're all able to do this. So when we're singing songs of the Lord's victory and praise, it's not just because it's a jolly rousing tune. We are swinging our swords around. We're clearing spiritual space. We're changing the atmosphere. And when we can move in the spirit, because we've got more space, we can move corporately and personally into greater freedom and authority. We need to develop our spiritual muscles, swinging those swords around. Gets rid of the bingo wings. It can be tiring. You've got spiritual, I don't know if there's such a thing as spiritual bingo wings. But we do need to push. I mean, sometimes, I'm sure you never think this, but sometimes I sit down there and I think, do we really have to sing this again? Yes, you do. Yes, you do have to sing it again. That's the point. It's pushing. It's pushing into something. And it's tiring. Paul and Silas were put in prison in Philippi. I guess they weren't too happy about that. Acts 16:25 it says, "But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed." Verse 30, the jailer said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul and Silas said, "Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household." Our praise can break chains, church. And there's chains that need breaking. Moses, in Exodus 33, he was under a lot of pressure. The people were rebellious, and he'd had to intercede for them. And he would go outside the camp to the tent of meeting. And when he went out there, he would worship God. And the people would kind of get to the doors of their tents, and they'd watch him go. And when he got there and he started worshipping the Lord, the cloud of God's presence would descend on this tent of meeting. And as the people stood there and watched him, then they would start worshipping as well. Are you under pressure? A lot of us are, one time or another. Let's encourage each other in worship. Let's not just watch Rob or whoever's at the front leading us and seeing that the cloud's descending on him and he's moving in worship, but let us stand also and worship ourselves. Let's not just be spectators. The first and most important commandment, as Al said, it all comes back to this: love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. Obedience is better than sacrifice. That verse comes in a story when Saul, one of the kings of Israel, was disobeying the Lord by keeping the best animals of his enemies that he'd just defeated. The Lord had told him to destroy them, but he said that he'd keep them to sacrifice to the Lord as an act of worship. But that wasn't the worship that the Lord wanted. We can kid ourselves. We can get very busy doing life and even doing church, thinking that we're making huge sacrifices. But actually, the Lord just wants us to focus on him and to obey him and to worship him and to help each other to worship him. He wants to love us and he wants us to love him. And that's why we sing love songs. We need to be filled with his love. Romans, I think, 5:5 says, "We love because he first loved us." We need to be in a place where we feel that love. And singing those love songs puts us in that place. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Stand together. Worship the Lord. Praise the beauty of his holiness. Praise him because his mercy endures forever. This battle is not ours, but God's. He'll inhabit our praises, and I think we'll be amazed at the breakthroughs we'll see. Let's say yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Amen.